How many know what I'm going to talk about tonight? God. I chihuahua. I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to talk about unity tonight. We've been talking about this for several weeks, and you probably don't remember this because it's been a while, but the sermon title is What Satan Does Not Want You to Know. What Satan Does Not Want You to Know. And one of the main things he doesn't want you to understand is what will happen if you and I decide to be united together. The force is incredible. It's unstoppable. God can do so much if people will put away their preferences, the things that they really think are important. And I'm not talking about things like, Jesus is the Son of God. I'm talking about things like that. I'm talking about, tomato or tomato. You know what I mean? You know, what is it? Is it, what do you put on your ice cream? Do you put toffee or taffy? Huh? See, but I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, what happens in the course of time is we think these things make a difference. And so we grab a hold of these things and we say, no. It's not taffy. It's not. Is it caramel or is it caramel? Oh, you don't know. It's caramel. Everybody knows it's caramel. Ooh, you know what? You just got all the caramel people all, riled up. And what I'm saying is, you know what? I don't care what it is. Just put it on my ice cream, amen? See, you do understand, there's things that are important and there's things that are not important. And what Satan has got us many times bickering over is that he doesn't care about what you think. Satan cares whether it's caramel or caramel. You know what I mean? He don't care. It doesn't make any difference. He just wants you to look at that person, in a condescending way if they say it's opposite from what you say. See, he wants you. One of the things that Jesus hated more than anything else was, you know what it was? It was self-righteousness. A spirit of superiority over someone else. And we need to, look at your neighbor and say, you're different. hey, in a good way, tell them you're different. Amen. Okay, smile when you tell them that. Some of you said it in a weird way, man. No. Be nice, okay? That's my point. Of course we're different. But listen, that's how God designed us. And if we, in our differences, will make, and it's one of the reasons why the church has been, listen to me, it's one of the reasons why the church has been so ineffective. Because we will get caught up in this, in this caramel, doesn't make any difference. Well, I want to continue this, and let me just let's just do a little bit of review. We have to decide before we come in those doors. We have to decide as we're coming to church. You know what I mean? That it doesn't make any difference. You know what I mean? Who sings worship? You know what I mean? Maybe Ernie will sing tonight, or maybe Chanel will sing, or maybe even I'll sing. Praise the Lord. Come on, I didn't get a good amen for that. You know what I mean? Come on. You know, you're freaking me out. You know what I mean? I said, even maybe even I'll sing. Okay. Let's be a little faster on that next time, okay? You know? Of course, I'm just joking. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't make any difference. Maybe we'll sing a hymn. Maybe we'll sing a chorus. Maybe we'll sing. And don't make, you know what? Listen, all our songs we're singing about Jesus.
Amen.
See, that's the important thing. Does that make sense? You know what? Maybe you have, I don't know. You know, maybe you're real spiritual. And you're wearing sandals today. You know, maybe. Right? Right, Joanne?
Yeah.
Right. See, how many know people wearing sandals are not more spiritual than people who aren't wearing sandals? Do you understand? It's, whoa. But Satan would have us fight over things that are not important. And as we're fighting over things about are not important, the people that are coming in this place, our community, you know what? We will be so effective as we are at before we come in and say it doesn't. You know, there's things that really don't make any difference. What makes a difference is that we're going to come together and we're going to be united together. Does that make sense? So in review, we said this has got to be a preconceived agreement that we make. So we stopped off at this point, and I want to pick it up here. Unity is unstoppable. Somebody say unity is unstoppable. Genesis, let me show it to you. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, and starting with verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Notice who said this. They said, let us. Who? All the people that are coming together. Okay. They had brick of stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Keep it here. Lest we should scatter abroad over the face of the earth. Here's what I want you to catch. There's no division here. You don't have some people say, no, we don't want to do that. Let's do this. Or let's do that. No. They're coming together and they're saying, here's what let's do. Look at this next verse. But the Lord came down and to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Amazing thing that's happening there. And then look at this next verse. This is just amazing. Look what it says. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Notice you said this. God said this. See, I think sometimes we discount what man can do. And I'm not saying, I know, I understand you can do all things through Christ. I understand that. But God is the one who's pointing out that there is power as people are coming together and saying, hey, we're all going to be in agreement that this is what we want to do and this is what we want to get done. You know, listen, we get together, you know what? How many put up decorations for Christmas? Let me put it up, decoration of Christmas. And you know what? And somebody over here, they might have, their theme might be green. You know what I mean? Somebody else's theme over here might be silver. Amen. Somebody else's theme might be gold. Somebody might have a lot of lights. Somebody might have candles. Amen. Somebody might have, you know, butterflies for Christmas. You know, what are butterflies for Christmas? I don't know. You know what I mean? But that's what you decided. You wanted to put butterfly, you have butterflies, and you find some kind of, you know, some butterfly thing, and that goes around the tree electronically, and you got butterflies going around your tree. Okay? But we come to hope, and what do? And I said, you know what, I don't know. How many know I ain't going to figure out how we're going to decorate this place? Come on, you can say amen to that. Okay, you know what? But, you know, I tell you what, exactly. You know what we're doing? We're saying, you know what, here's what's going to happen. We're all going to get here, and we're all going to figure it out. And, you know, actually, Pastor Tamara and Auntie Norma have already figured it all out. So, in matter of fact, I'm going to recruit you already. We're going to do a big Christmas thing. I want everybody coming Saturday. You know what? Sometime around Thanksgiving, we're all going to come. And you know what? You're going to do what I tell my kids to do. I tell them to do boomerang. What's boomerang? Boomerang is you go to Auntie Norma and you say, Auntie Norma, what do you want me to do? And she's going to say, I want you to see those wreaths up there in the front row? I want you to take one of those wreaths and I want you to put it over there. And I want you to line it up with those other wreaths. What I want you to do, boomerang. I want you to go put that reef up. You know what? And then come back, boomerang. All right, but you're boomeranging back, amen? So tell my kids, boomerang back, you know what I mean? You know, so sometimes my kids, I'd find them in the refrigerator somewhere. You know what I mean? I say, no. Boomerang back to me. Let me keep on telling you, you know what I mean? Well, here's my point. How many know, you know what? If we come together, we've got to be in agreement together. And you know what? And I've got to put somebody in charge and say, you know what? And listen, I'm not saying that you couldn't do a beautiful job decorating. I'm saying you're going to be a good helper today. Can you say amen to this? See, when they were able to do incredible things because they decided they're all going to be together. They're going to decide they're going to do, you know what? They're going to be on one accord. That's what the Bible says in Acts. They did incredible things. Why? Here's why. Because they decided to be together. How many know that takes some effort for you? Come on. Why? Because how many know all of us have a tendency to do it our way? You want me to sing it for you? You know what I mean? No, I'm not even going to try. Don't even try. We all have that kind of thought. Well, yeah. And listen, and that's fine. That's fine. There's a time and a place for that. But the church is hindered in what we could accomplish if we would just come together and say, no. There's more. Imagine this. Imagine, you know what, that you come and everybody's on their own agenda. See, listen, when you come at Christmas time, I'm telling you, this place looks... It is a winter wonderland. And anybody who's been here can testify. This place is beautiful. Look around the room. Somebody haven't been around for Christmas yet. You are in for a treat. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And listen, and maybe it's more white. Maybe you have more of a green going on than we have. But you understand what that's about? It's just about tomato or tomato. You know, one person flocks their tree, one person doesn't. Amen? When I was a kid, you know what? My grandparents, you know what, had this white tree, and they had one of those circular things with colors, and it would just, you know what, old school. How many remember this? Okay? What I'm saying is, so many things are just about preference, but what happens is Satan comes in and he wants to divide us like that makes a difference. Let me tell you what, it is beautiful around here Christmas time. But let me tell you what's more beautiful. What's more beautiful is that Saturday when we're decorating, that there's not major fights in this church. How many know that is beautiful? Because what is that? That's about a spirit. That's about a heart that says, I don't, you know what it is? It's a heart of humility that comes in. You come in as someone who's going to help. You don't come in as like, oh, I'll tell you what, you know? And so Auntie Norma says, you know what? I want one tree here. And you don't sit there and, well, I'll tell you what, don't you think it would look better there? I mean, why are you having it here? You know what I mean? And you come up all kinds of reasons, and listen, and next thing you know, now what happens? Now somebody else comes and tells them their opinion, and then somebody else comes says their opinion. Next thing you know, and Auntie Norma, she's like, I just wanted it there. Amen. Here's a thought. Can you just come with a humble attitude of doing it, you know what, the way she asks? That's a thought, right? Man, that's a good thought. Why? Because God notices as these people are coming together saying, here, you know what, we're going to get some things done. How many know if Auntie Norma is if she's questioned after every single decision, you know what I mean? You know, she is going to be a mess. And how many know how much longer it's going to take to get things done? You know what I mean? Hello? Hello? Listen to this. The devil has been trying to separate us since he fell. But he is violently trying to separate us ever since he saw what happened at the Tower of Babel. How many know Satan saw what was going on here? Let me tell you what. When this group will make a decision that they're not going to argue with this group, and when this group makes a decision that they're going to love this group, I'm telling you what, Satan is in a heap of trouble. Because we will be so much more effective in our community. We'll be so more effective as far as preaching the gospel and ministering to people and just an atmosphere of love and joy. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been around a divisive person? See, you don't want to raise your hands. I didn't say, are you sitting next to a divisive person? I didn't say that. I said, have you ever been around a divisive person? You ever been on a trip? You know what? You're going on a trip with somebody and they're divisive. And it's like, you know what? I mean, you're not even in the car for 3 hours and you're like, let me out of here. Amen. You know, I'd rather here, drop me off here. I don't. Yeah, but we're not in the destination. I know, but here is better. Here is better with peace. Amen. Amen. You know what? I'll go to McDonald's. You know what? I'll get a little umbrella. You know what I mean? I'll whatever. And I'll be happy. Right? Versus someone who's divisive. Somebody you say up, they say down. You say, you know what? And you can't get anything done, or you're hindered on what wants to get done. How many know we've got to value people who aren't in the kingdom of God, and their value has to be more important to us than what color trees, where the trees go, what songs we sing. You know what? Whether we have black shades or white shades. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Unity, listen to me, demands a commitment. We'll park here for a little bit. Unity demands a commitment. You've got to be committed to unity. Because let me tell you about your flesh. Your flesh don't roll with unity. See, I get no amens on that.
Amen.
Your flesh doesn't roll. Your flesh, your flesh likes to argue about everything. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Sometimes we're reading a passage like this one, and we just think it's kind of poetic. You know what? Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we can go over a passage like that and really not even catch what it's saying. This word endeavor in the Greek is a word that means to stretch to the limit. You ever been reaching for something and you don't want to get a ladder and you're just this much away from getting it? You're like, I don't want to get a ladder. It's gonna, I gotta go to the garage, get the ladder. I'm almost there. But you know what? You're not there. And so you go from your tippy toes to the tippy tip of your tippy toes. Do you understand? Everything you're stretching so much. What are you doing? I don't want to go to the garage and get the ladder. I gotta go. Okay. That's what that word means. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, love is not easily offended. And I tell you this. You know, about about 2 weeks ago, I said it so forcefully. I was like, man, where did that come from? You know what I mean? I'm preaching, we're laughing, and the word of God's going forth. And then all of a sudden it was like, man, there was this drastic change in my demeanor. And I was like, man, where's that coming from? And I knew where it was coming from. It's coming from the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And I just said, hey, you know what? You know, keep your bad attitude, opinionated, you know what, self-righteousness, keep it out of here. I mean, remember this. Why? Because we can't afford it. How many know some things just cost too much? That stuff costs too much. And I don't care, and I said this, I don't care what part of department you are. I don't care if you're in the, you know what, listen, what are we eating tonight? Burritos. Okay? I don't know what the, I don't even know what's going on. I don't know whether they have that beans. I don't know if they have, you know what, chicken. I don't know if they have, you know what, pork. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's, you know, chopped onions or potato. How many know somebody put potatoes in their burritos? I don't know. But here's what I'm telling you. If I go in, even with onions, I don't care. I don't care. I don't like onions. I don't care. If there's onions on that, I'm not going, why don't you put those onions on it? Doesn't she know? You know what I mean? No, I don't make no difference. Amen? Spit the onions out, but keep the attitude out. Do you understand? See, Savoia, no Savoia. I mean, no, they ain't going to kill you. Amen? Right? Oh, yeah, you see, you didn't think I was bilingual, did you? Well, start messing with me, man. I'll tell you. No, mucho intelligence. That's what we got going on here. Right? Am I right? Am I teaching the truth? Okay. Thank you for that agreement. But what I'm saying is, and I said, of course, keep that attitude out of you. If I go in the kitchen, I don't want no attitude. I want everybody saying please. I want everybody saying thank you. You know what I mean? I don't want no yelling. I want sweetness. Amen? Yes. Amen. How many know a sweet kitchen is a good kitchen? Yes. Listen, here's this is deep, deep. Shouldn't we be sweet?
Yes. Amen.
I think we should be.
Thank you, Pastor.
And I said real forcibly, hey, why? Because, you know what, listen, I can handle some onions in my burrito. Amen. What I can't handle is junk in the kitchen. Oh, yeah. Does that make sense?
Amen.
See, listen, there's a lot of things I can tolerate with the worship team. But I can't tolerate no attitudes. I can't tolerate no sweet. You know, we got to be sweet. Amen? Amen. And how many know there's all kinds of different opinions? You know what? I got opinions. And I'm going to communicate those opinions. I'll communicate those opinions to Richard. You know what? If I got an opinion about, I want it like this, or Angel, I want it like that, or Isaac, I like it like this. One time, Isaac, he still has this note. And I wrote him a note one time, and I said, hey, this song, I wrote it right during church. I said, this song has got to be way more funkier. I've got opinion. But even, you listen, and even if you are in charge, you better bring your sweetness. You know, the person in charge should be the most sweetest.
Amen.
Amen? So we've got to reach. We've got to understand. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to endeavor to keep the unity of faith. That's got to be something that it's your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. It's your responsibility and your responsibility and my responsibility. Amen. Amen. Oh, Pastor, no, it's your responsibility. No, my responsibility is just to lead you. Amen?
Amen.
Hello? You wonder why your kids aren't so sweet. Oh, don't stop me when I'm preaching good now. Well, can I tell you what? Maybe they're just watching you. See, you be sweet and they'll be sweet. Amen? How many of you reap what you sow? Yeah, but my wife's not sweet enough. Well, you lead her. Amen? You lead her into the valley of sweetness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, my husband's not sweet. Well, you give him a kiss, whether he deserves it or not. Amen? See, you walking around judging whether he deserves a kiss or not. Amen? There's some country song talks about how I've got to take the kisses. Ladies, don't make your husband take no kisses. You just give him kisses. Amen? Oh, come on, ladies. Say amen to this. See, you be sweet. Endeavor. You know what? And listen, and for some of you at work, you got 38 reasons why you can have a bad attitude at work. And you got 1,000 reasons why to have a bad attitude at work. Because you have situations at work. I like what one person that said. They said, you know what? It's interesting. How many know God puts people in our lives that are hard to work with? Come on. See, here, let me just, can I teach you the Bible? Can I teach you the Bible? Here's what the Bible says. That we ought to do unto others as we would have them do to us. See, we get attitudes with our bosses that are, you know what? How many know sometimes you got bosses and they're immature and they're like, ye gads, you know, what in the world? Well, hey, listen, I'm just asking. You know what? When your four-year-old, when your five-year-old, you know what, treats your four-year-old badly. You know, your four-year-old's acting up and then your five-year-old starts acting like a four-year-old. Do you just hug your five-year-old and say, that's so good? No, what do you teach your five-year-old? No, I don't care how she treats you. You treat her nice. And vice versa, right? Why? Because that's how Christians ought to act. It's, you know what? We've got to get off the we act the way they act. Listen to me. Your bosses probably aren't even saved. And God has put you in that situation with your boss that you could influence them. Maybe you're the one who's supposed to lead them to Christ. But how can you lead? I'm just asking. I'm smiling. But how can you lead them to Christ if you are acting like they're acting towards you? I'll tell you what. You know what? And you won't say it to their face because you know you're going to get fired. But you won't. I'll tell you what, I'm work so slow today. We're getting nothing done today. Whoa, Jackson. Where did that come from? That didn't come from God. That's not a godly spirit. That's not a godly thing. That is a spirit, but it's not a godly spirit. That's not how we act. We work, the Bible says, unto the Lord. Amen. You know what? The Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence. Yo, what's that? It's issues of the heart. Yuck. You've got to strive. You've got to make a decision. I don't care. I will not be easily offended. I'm just gonna love people. I'm gonna love people who are easy. How many loving people who are easy to love? Man, we got all kinds of easy people to love here. Okay? Let's love the easy people. Let's love the not so easy people. Amen. Is that not right? Okay. So we've got to commit to unity. Number one, we've got to make a decision. We must be committed to not judge. Listen, if there was one area that I think is hurting the body of Christ as far as our witness to the people who aren't in church, it's this. We are way too judgmental. Way too self-righteous. I'm not talking about not having a standard. How many know Jesus had a standard? But how many know Jesus had a heart of mercy? You know, that's what our heart ought to be. Listen, God's going to judge. And he is going to judge. And I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on the sons of disobedience. I know that. And it will happen. But you know how come you came into the family of God? You know what caused you to come into the family of God? You know what drew you into loving God? Here's what the Bible says. It's the love of God that leads people to repentance. It was the love of God that led you in. And so if we are going to be in unity, we've got to make a decision. How many know we have all kinds of different people on all kinds of different levels here at this church? And we've got to be committed that we're not going to judge people. Amen? Or we're not going to have a judgmental spirit. Does that make sense? Listen to this. It's not because those people who are hypercritical about everything. You know everything. You understand everything. You've been given the spirit of, I'm mocking you, just so you know. You've been given the spirit of discernment. I've said this before. I've seen this. I've been doing ministry for a long time. I've seen this over and over again. The person who comes up to me and says they have the spirit of discernment, almost 100 times out of 100 times, it's not a spirit of discernment, it's a spirit of criticism. And it's not a spirit of love, and it's not a spirit of God. It is a spirit, but it's not a Holy Spirit. It's a judgmental spirit. I'm not saying that you can't discern things. I'm not saying that you shouldn't discern things. But the person who comes up to me and says, I've been given the gift of discernment, I found, to a person, they don't have a gift of discernment, they have a gift of criticism. And it hasn't been given to them by the Spirit of God. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Judge not that you, this is just Jesus talking. I mean, how many catch my sarcasm here? Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment that you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Guys, keep on going. Verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, how do you do this? Jesus is asking this. How do you do this? Can I tell you how you do it? You're self-righteous. You don't even notice. You don't even notice. And how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at plank and look? Why? You're not looking at yourself. We taught this, I think, 3 Sundays ago. Examine yourself. You're not looking at yourself. And look, a plank is in your own eye. Look what he says. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Listen, the Bible, Jesus doesn't teach among brethren that we're not to monitor each other. Because we are. We are our brother's keeper. If you call yourself a Christian, then you need to have an accountability partner where you're allowing them to hold you accountable. Amen? See, some Christians, you need to allow your brother and sister to bring correction to you. Oh, this is good preaching. Nobody tells me what to do. No, that's your arrogant attitude. Amen? Amen? How many know if you have a blind spot, you can't see it? Is that not right? You can't see it. So if somebody comes up to you and in a graciousness and is kind and gentle and trying to help you out, you need to not be offended. You know, they're helping you out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this arrogance that, you know what, you're trying to get some minor thing out of somebody else's eye and you can't even see what's going on in your own life. Why? Here's why. Because you're not looking at them. You're not looking at you. You're looking at them. It was my first point 3 weeks ago. You know what? The problem with looking at everybody else is you're never looking at yourself. I mean, remember that point. So, but you've got to be committed to not judging. Because if you're committed to judge, you're gonna walk in self-righteousness and there won't be unity in your life. Even when God tells you how to correct, he says, here's how you're to correct. You're to correct with this gentle spirit of love. Not in a condescending way, not in a like this, but more like, you know what? Hey, you know what? Let's go to Tommy's. You know what? An elder that once he wasn't even a correction. It was just some advice. He just thought he had some good suggestions for the church. And he comes into my office and he's got a whole page of things that Tamara and I were doing right. Never forget this. It was striking because it really made a difference in my mindset. And he came in with all these suggestions of what we were doing right. Oh, not suggestions. All these comments of, you're doing this right, you're doing that right, you're doing this right. And after he got done that whole page, the next page, you know what? He flipped it over and it was areas for your consideration. And they were things that he thought, you know what? That I remember one of them was, you know what? The way I did communion. And he thought that there were some good suggestions on how we could do communion better. I tell you what, after reading all those 12 things of what we were doing right, how many know it was easy for me to read that second page? Because here's what it was. It wasn't this condescension. It was, you know what? Sometimes you need to bring correction to people. But they got to feel like you're on their team. Sometimes we just get so much, and you're, yep, but I'm right. Yep, but I'm right. Yep, but I'm right. Yeah, but you're wrong because the spirit that you're coming in is so wrong. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we've got to be, listen, but we've got to commit to not be judgmental. We've got to make that commitment, number one. Number two, we've got to commit to be quick to apologize and forgive. Quick to apologize and forgive. Quick to apologize and forgive. Listen, I'm saying this honestly. If you've got an issue with me, well, I got your attention now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come to me. Why? Because here's what the Bible says. If your brother offends you, watch this. This is so good. Go to him. Do you understand this? See, if George offends me, what I can't do and be biblical, I can't go to Richard. I have no business. I need to go to George, not Richard. Not get on the internet and start, telling you about stuff. Here, this is a side note. Guys, watch what happens on the internet. I don't know why some psychologists could tell me there's some disconnect craziness that happens. But you watch it when you get on the internet. You don't let your flesh go crazy. You know what I mean? Because you're, you know what I mean? I don't know who this is for. You know what? You be sweet. You be sweet when you get on the internet. You don't got nothing good to say? Then get off the internet. So if Richard offends me, I go to Richard. I man up. I have a manly conversation. Hey, Richard, this bothers me. But it's not a condescension towards him. It's a sweet conversation. It's a gentle conversation. It's an understanding. He's my brother. Maybe my perception is wrong. It's going to him with the questioning of maybe I misunderstand this. Do you understand the difference? Yeah. You'll go in with that attitude. And what does Richard do? You're going, let me tell you what. What does Richard do? Well, you know what? I mean, hopefully his godliness takes over and he thinks, oh, pastor's acting like a little immature baby right now, but I'm not going to act like that. But there's a tendency many times you go in this condescension superiority, you know what I mean? You slap somebody, they have a tendency to slap you back. And then all of a sudden, and this is all ungodly. And then it's like, no, no, no. You don't want, actually, but let me just tell you, most people never go there. Because they just don't have the integrity to go to the person they have a problem with. They wimp out and rather just talk behind somebody's back. I'm just telling you, many people, that's exactly what they do. And the Bible says, don't do that. If somebody offends you, you go to him. What are you saying, Pastor? This is what I'm saying. If I offend you, you come to me. And let me tell you what my attitude is going to be. I'm gonna listen to what you say. I'm going to listen to what you say, even if you come with the wrong attitude.
Wow. Come on.
Amen. Don't think I'm not going to straighten you out before you leave. No, amen. Somebody comes in acting like crazy, you know what I mean? No, 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 no. We don't act like that in the body of Christ. We don't act like that in the body of Christ. But let me tell you what my attitude is. I don't care how you act. I'm quick to listen to you. And I'm quick to listen to you with a attitude of, man, did I do something wrong? We have such a defensive attitude. We take on this, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. You know, it's like, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. No, I'm perfect. I never do anything wrong. I never can do anything wrong. And I never will do anything wrong. And it don't make any difference to say, I never, ever, 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 ever. How do you know this is crazy? Come on, raise your hand if you've ever done something wrong. Raise your hand if you've ever done something. Oh, let me try it again. Because I see some hands that aren't up. Raise your hand if you've never, raise your hand if you've ever done anything wrong, okay? And all your hands ought to go up, you know what? And your legs ought to go up too. Because we've all done stuff wrong, all of us. So if Richard comes to me, you know what? I need to have an attitude quick to apologize. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to do it. No, 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 no. Maybe you did. Amen? See, that will bring, because, watch this, if I've offended Richard, and if he's going to come to me, man, you know what a lot of times just going to diffuse the whole thing? Imagine this. Imagine if I just go, actually, you're right, Richard. I've been in arguments with my wife. And I've been like, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I know, you know, it just happened once. But anyway, I've had those kind of arguments. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. And then, you know what? I've been right in the middle of the argument. And you know what? And the Holy Spirit showed me, yes, I did. And I've said, oh, actually, you're right. That's exactly what I did. And then sometimes because it was so abrupt, she'll go, you're just saying that. You're just saying that because you're trying to be a peacemaker. That's how you are. And then I'll say, actually, no, that's not what happened. You know what? I really, you're actually right, and I'm sorry. Man. See, we've got to commit to be united. And to have an attitude that's quick to ask for forgiveness. Quick to be willing to look and go, gosh, maybe I did do that with the wrong attitude. Yeah. It'll make all the difference in the world. Are you learning something? Yeah. And not only that, but quick to, you ever been in a situation like this where you're quick to receive, to give forgiveness? No, you didn't say it right enough. No, you did, you know. No, don't make the person who's asking for forgiveness, don't make them grovel. Amen? Just be quick to go, eh. Be quick to say this. Be quick to say that. Eh, no big deal. Listen, I forgive you. Listen, watch the difference. Watch. Ah, no big deal. Forget it. Versus, you hurt me. I'll forgive you, but I can't. Listen, I can't ever forget what you did. Listen. I'm just asking. Listen how crazy statement that is. Listen how crazy. You know, sometimes we say the craziest things out of our mouth. Crazy statement. Oh, I'll never. I can't. You hurt me so bad. I can't ever. Are you kidding me? I just asked you to get some milk. Amen. You went 10 minutes to the grocery store. You know what I mean? And you got everything. You got the ding dongs. You got the Hostess ho hos. You got the Twinkies. You got the donuts that are, I'm gonna tell you this, you're all gonna be happy, with the white powder on the outside and the jelly filled on the inside. You didn't forget that. And listen, and 10 minutes later you're walking in and you already forgot. Listen, can I tell you something? When the Bible says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, can I tell you what that includes? It includes you forgetting all kinds of stuff. One of the reasons, can I teach somebody something? One of the reasons why, I taught you this before, but somebody has to hear this again. If I keep on walking like this, and I do this 100 times, then I do it 1,000 times, then I do it 10,000 times, what are you going to start to see in this carpet? You're going to start to see a wear pattern in the carpet. The same thing, the research says, the same thing happens in your mind. And every single time you say stuff in your mind about yourself or somebody other, you just keep on doing this carpet thing. And you're wearing, and so here's the truth. And you can't ever forget it. Yeah. You replay it over. And they hurt you, and they hurt you. And you talk to your neighbor, and you talk to your sister, and you talk to your crazy cousin, and you're on the phone telling, he hurt me. And you back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And then with your own mouth, here's what the Bible says. With your words, you're going to be justified, and with your words, you're going to be condemned. I love you all. How dare you? You can't ever forget it. Wow. You know what the Bible says about you? That, you know what? That your sins, Jesus has forgotten as far as the east is from the west. Amen. You're cursing your marriage. You're cursing yourself. You're cursing your spouse. And you should never, listen, your spouse has done some things that you need to forget. Your spouse has done some things that you need to forget. And just before you get too self-righteous, and you've done some things that your spouse needs to forget about you. And you haven't had anybody tell you, you know what I mean? You've been too busy listening to your neighbors and your friends and your cousins. Yeah, that's right. It's right. And you know, she'll start crying with you. And you need somebody to say, hey, guys, that is ungodly behavior. I need you not only to forgive me, but I need you to act like I never did it before. And here's what I'm telling you. You think there's no place for that. You think you can't. You'll be amazed what your mind can do. You ever been in conversation and you got in, you're this person talking to you? But something's going on over here. Do you know in your mind, you can turn down this conversation and turn up this conversation? Come on, somebody. How many know you can do that? You can do that. And you're talking about you can't ever. No, listen. Listen, you can forget all kinds of things. But you can't ever forget it if you keep on saying you can't ever forget it. Why? Because you're just making that connection in your brain. And those things, the research says, those connections are physiologically real. That's what all the brain research says. See, you've got to be quick to apologize and quick to forgive. And finally, and I'll stop with this. Thank you. We've got to be committed to unity. We must see and appreciate and celebrate one another. The reason why you keep seeing, I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. The reason why you keep on seeing the devil in the person that you're so frustrated with is because you keep on listening to what the devil is saying about that person. That's why. I had it here. let me find it real quick. Can you imagine if you judged everyone by their best moments, not by their worst moments? Can you imagine? Can we? I'm just saying. Here, I'll ask you this. Can you forget my worst moments? Can you just judge me on my best moments? Can I do that to you? Can we do that to each other? Can we recognize? I'm just asking you, have you ever had a bad day? Amen? You ever woke up and was like, man, your hair just like... And even when you wet it and start all over again, it's still like, you know, it's a hat day today. Have you ever had a bad day? I'm just asking. You know what you want when you have a bad day? You just want somebody. Don't you just want somebody to go, hey, you know what? Here, you know what? Here, have a cold lemonade. Here, I got a cold lemonade for you. Don't you know cold? Just watch this. Isn't it nice when you're having a bad day? Isn't it nice for any time for somebody to be sweet to you? But isn't it nice when you're having a bad day, when somebody acts like you're not having a bad day? When somebody won't judge you and criticize you and go, what's your problem? You know, I mean, just start having an attitude check. That just act like, it's no big deal. You know what I want? I want us to start to treat, I want you to start to treat people. And let me tell you, I say this all the time, but I'll say it again. You know, where are the most frustrating people? Where do they live? Where are the most frustrating people that I know? The most frustrating people in the whole world that I know. You know where they live? They live in my house. They live in my house. Where's the most frustrating people? I think they probably live the same place. Not in my house. Live in your house. Can we do this? Can we imagine where we start to act, you know what? Where we start to treat other people, you know what, in their best moments. And we take that and we just bring that into church. Can I tell you what'll happen when we decide that we are going to be in unity? You know what we're going to do? We're going to start loving on people. And when we do that, people are going to come in here and they're going to feel the presence of God. They're going to feel the presence of God. You know what? I think we'd be amazed sometimes. How many know the preaching of the word is really important to the progression of where this church goes? I think sometimes we underestimate. I think sometimes we can underestimate the importance of what you bring into the church. And when you just come in and say, you know what, I'm just going to have a commitment to walk in unity. And I don't care whether we're having burritos tonight or tacos. I don't care who sings. You know what I mean? I don't care that pastor's going to wear a peach shirt tonight. It don't make no difference. I don't care. This is not salmon. Ask a lady, she'll tell you this is peach. It's not the point, amen. You call it salmon, I'll call it peach. But I think we underestimate the importance of a spirit of cooperation. A spirit of gentleness, a spirit of kindness, a spirit that says, I tell you what, there's nothing more important than my part that I bring. And I'm going to bring that spirit of cooperation to this church. And you know what? And let me tell you what, this church is as awesome as it is because that's the spirit that's here. And that kind of spirit will infect other people. We have so many people coming to the church. So many new people come in the church. You know what? I don't know. You know, and if I haven't met you, you know what? Come up, you know, either tonight or Sunday and say hi, I want to meet you. But we have so many people coming, and I'm convinced that part of here, I'll tell you a story, I'm going way over, but you know what? We have these cards. And if you come for the first time, we ask you to make a commitment card. We ask you to turn it in. Well, when we not only call you, we say we're going to call you. I tell you that in advance. We send you something in the mail. You know what we send you in the mail? We send you in the mail, tells you all about our church. But one of the things we send is we have a postcard, self-addressed, stamped envelope postcard, and it has some questions. And those questions are, I'll tell you what the questions are. What did you notice most first? What did you notice first? What did you like the best? What did you like the least? And just a place for you to make comments. You know what the number one thing is that people say what they like the best? Here, get ready to be in shock. Already? Get ready to go, no. Okay, you ready? Okay. It's not the preaching. No, it's not. Oh, it's no way. Okay, let me try it again. It's not the preaching. I'm telling you, it's not. You know what it is? You know what it is? It's, you know what? Friendly people. It's what people notice first. It's what they like the best. I thank God for your spirit of cooperation. That's the spirit that's going to grow this church. Spirit of love. Spirit of non-criticism. It's a spirit of cooperation. It's a spirit of unity. And you've got to be committed to it because it will not happen accidentally. It will not happen accidentally. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for their kindness and what you are teaching us. I thank you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.